Well, welcome, listeners, to Siouxland Catholic Radio 88.1 FM. We are so delighted that you have joined us today for another edition of Faith in Action. I am not Joanne Fox. I am Lisa Niebuhr-Inn. And a special thanks to Mary's Choice, our underwriter, or our sponsor, I should say, for Faith in Action, for bringing Faith in Action to you every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, every Saturday night at 7, and, of course, on a variety of podcasting platforms. And today, ladies and gentlemen, we are really excited to have two very special friends here in the station, Fred Schellebarger and Kara Cardell. Welcome both to Faith in Action.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks for having us.
It's awesome to be here.
Ladies and gentlemen, many of you probably know Fred and Kara from their shows Draw Near, as well as My Lord and My God. But for those friends who don't know the two of you, Fred and Kara, would you take a moment and introduce yourselves?
Ladies first, Kara.
Thanks. You always do that. So my name is Kara Cardell, and I live in Sioux City with my husband, BJ, and we have three kiddos. Fred and I have been best friends for many years and just really enjoy doing ministry together. And so we've been in ministry in many capacities for, I don't know, what, like 8 years?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to get into a little bit of our new venture as well, but... I don't know. I'm not too exciting.
Kara, can I ask you, there is a little differentiation. You are a young lady who, can I say, is a cradle Catholic?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
And grew up in the Siouxland area, or where, may I ask?
I grew up in the Sioux City Diocese. I grew up in Humboldt. It's by Fort Dodge. Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yep. And Fred, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am also married. My wife, Crystal, we have six children. I am drawing a blank on how many years we've been married. It's been a long time, I'll just say that. Three adventures across the country, following the Lord. I'm a convert, unlike Kara. Came to faith in Christ after a radical conversion in the truest sense. And then it wasn't done with me. There was another conversion to the Catholic faith. And Yeah, Kara, my best friend, do ministry together. Anthony Vera, who's a seminarian in the diocese, he loves to joke that my last name is And Kara.
It was so funny yeah. When he said that.
So I think that's funny. I actually take that as a compliment. Yeah. It doesn't bother me. So
just because we do ministry together everywhere and all the time. So
And yes, I can tell you, he does say And Kara all the time. Fred. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your conversion story to the Catholic Church?
To the Catholic Church. Well, it all started with, honestly, I think there was always a hunger for, I want the whole truth, radical, I'm all in. I take, even when I was a sinner, heathen, you know, I was all in on everything. Like if one was good for you, 10 was better for me, you know. And I think I took that same, like Paul, I took that same zeal into my conversion. And so I found myself in Tulsa, Oklahoma at Oral Roberts University, working at a church, preparing to be a Protestant pastor, and pretty much on the path to do that. And I took a class, New Testament and Early Church Fathers, with the only Catholic professor on campus who had a conversion himself, and he was tenured. So, and it's an ecumenical school, so...
Did you know he was Catholic when you took the
class?
I did.
And he taught all things unapologetically Catholic. But it wasn't just that, his teaching. The moment he walked into the room, there was something about him that made me say, I want what he has. And I couldn't figure out what it was until I spent more time with him. And the more, he's a friend of some guy named Scott Hahn, perhaps the listeners have heard of him. And the more time I spent with him in those classes, and then he eventually... made me his honors teaching assistant for Early Church Fathers for a whole year. So that required me spending a lot of time in the Church Fathers. And it came to a certain point right before graduation. You know, I had always been confident, Lord called me to be a pastor. That's what I'm going to do. And it came to a certain point where I couldn't deny the Catholic faith anymore, you know. And I remember my wife saying, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when we become Catholic. And that just, it really struck me. And then so 2 weeks before graduation, during final exams prep, I'm just bawling my eyes out. realizing that I'm about to commit career suicide. I'm married and I have kids. How do I be a pastor in the Catholic Church? So my conversion, for me, it wasn't Mary. It wasn't the Eucharist. It was none of those usual Protestant trappings. It was
that
all
like we're holding you up.
That was holding me from becoming Catholic. I was a Nicodemus Catholic for years. I was kind of in hiding. Even working in a Christian school, I was trying to convert my coworkers into the Catholic Church, even though I wasn't willing to make that jump. So everything just kind of came to a head in that moment. I planned a visit to Franciscan University of Steubenville, and at the time I hadn't even applied yet. And I was just really unsure what to do. And by the end of the day at Steubenville, not only did I have a scholarship, but I had a place to live and everything that I needed for our family to make that move. Now, that first year going through RCI was still rough. It meant rather than actively working in ministry, I was literally working all the crap jobs on campus. Literally.
Rough is an understatement. Yeah, you were like also really
crawling around
sick
in ventilation shafts, cleaning out raw sewage that backed up. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
But it was worth it. I'd do it all over again to become Catholic.
And did you and your family convert at the same
time?
We
did. Yep. So Easter Vigil, my wife and I came into the church, and our oldest daughter, who was about 3 at the time, I believe, and our son, who was 1, were both baptized with us. Well, they were baptized, and we were confirmed in Eucharist. So, yeah. Yeah.
So what led to you coming to the Siouxland area?
It was, I don't think she remembers doing it, but it was Carmen Bauer, who is the DRE up in All Saints and Lamars. Awesome DRE, by the way. She worked for the diocese at the time, and I was working in at Franciscan in the catechetics office, so part of my job was helping students find jobs after graduation. And she sent the job posting for the job that I ended up applying for. And that's literally how I got here. And when I came, I read Bishop Nicholas' pastoral letter. I knew this is where I was supposed to be. And it was his pastoral letter that really did it.
And so you and your family packed up everything, came to Siouxland.
For the third time, we moved across the country following the Lord. Yep.
And how did the two of you then meet?
Then I started working in the same place. Mm. Yeah. I think that was the first time. We technically started at the same time.
Yes, technically, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that's kind of how we met. Yeah. And then really, Fred, from day one, like, just mentored me in those roles. So I think that that friendship grew. We always talk about how you need 4 people in your life. Mm. Paul, Timothy, Barnabas, and Silas. And Fred was definitely my Paul for many, many years, and then I feel like it just it became a Barnabas relationship where we were friends working in ministry together. Mm-hmm. And even the other day, you said, "You're being my Paul right now." I'm like, "Well, that's the point of those relationships. Right. You kind of switch switch in those." But that's really how the friendship grew and was struck, was just that intentional investment in ministry and in friendships. So.
Yeah. So obviously, we get a little heated on the can men and women be friends?
We do. But that's also why we're so passionate about investing in other people and mentoring other people, because there's something really special about that. And that's what Jesus did. Like, that's what the church is meant to do.
Mm.
So is that what you talked about, the 4 people that you need in your life? One of your first shows for Draw Near. What led to the two of you creating Draw Near? And how did you determine a title, Draw Near?
I love that story. Kara, I think you do tell that story best. I know you want me, but I feel like you tell it better than me.
Well, Draw Near is kind of twofold. So it's our podcast, but it's also now an LLC that Fred and I have started. So we can explain both as we kind of go. But Draw Near really started in the wake of the pandemic, because we love evangelizing. We love talking to people about the faith. And with everything shut down, we didn't get to do that anymore face to face. And we're like, we need a way where we can still be with the people. We can still be talking about God and get the word out. And so it really started during all of that. And that's how the idea was born. Mm-hmm. But then when we were praying about a name for it, we're terrible at
we
naming
We are
things.
The worst at naming
God
things.
Is good at it. Yeah. So if we have a good name for anything, it's because God told us. But we were really struggling. And so we're just like, we went to scripture. We're like, let's see if we can find, you know, a passage that really speaks to us. And I think a lot of people associate the words draw near with James, where it says, draw near to Christ and he will draw near to you. That's not the passage though that we got the name from. I was reading a couple actually, and they both happen to say versions of draw near, drew near, things like that. And so I was reading The Road to Emmaus, and it, in that passage, you know, it's two disciples who are walking along the road, and they're upset that, you know, the Savior that they had believed in is now gone. And then here comes Jesus, and they don't recognize him. And in that passage, it says, and Jesus drew near to them. And I really like that. Both are true, James and The Road to Emmaus. Both are true, but I feel like even with James, like, my mind is like, oh, so is it conditional? You know what I mean? Like, draw near to Jesus and or draw near to Christ and he will draw near to you. But in this passage, he drew near to them and they were walking away from him. They were, you know, they were walking away from the cross. And I really like that. And those words just stood out. So then I messaged Fred. I was like, what about draw near? And he's like, that's it. So
yeah, it was combined with the image he sent me. It was just like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and we just.
It was like this road in the middle of a cornfield, and it has since changed a little bit because we went out and we took the pictures ourselves. But he's like,
copyright will get you.
Yeah, yeah.
In other words,
but he's like, you know, this goes back to your question, Lisa. How did you decide to come here? He's like, this goes back to something that I actually saw. Like, I saw, you know, cornfields on fire. Sorry, I'm sharing your story.
Oh, yeah. It's in the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I saw like cornfields on fire, just like lighting them on fire and people on fire for Christ. And so that then like the picture I sent was this road in the middle of a cornfield. And he's like, this is perfect.
Yeah. It was fun. Like we had a little adventure, like searching for the right picture.
Yeah.
And it was this road. We just randomly found ourselves. My wife and kids and I were just, when we first moved here, just driving around trying to familiar. And I remembered this spot and I'm like, I know the perfect spot. And it was a fun little adventure going out there to get that picture. But
I got a bunch of those like little prickly things on my shoes.
And they went through her shoes. I didn't even know that was possible. Yeah. But what you'll do for a picture, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think what Kara's saying, it really gets to the heart of the fire but and the drawing near one another in Christ. It says right on our website, our goal is simple. We're striving to set the world on fire, to set hearts on fire with the love of God. We hope to do this by being witnesses of God's love in the world. And this is the key, helping others to draw near to the Lord and to one another. We are a relationshipy people.
Mm-hmm. So. And the churches, and we should be drawing together in community.
And during the pandemic, when we weren't able to have those relationships, you gave people that opportunity to draw near to God, to be able to find him and to build those relationships in new and creative ways.
Right. Yeah. And I think we both needed that as well. I think we were both, like many, just discouraged and felt
alone
and in some ways broken and hopeless. And, you know, I remember going to prayer about that during that time. And it was funny because Karen and I were praying about ministry things and, you know, what we should do, what should be our response. And I just one day found myself so moved in prayer. And I wrote this down because this is what came to me in prayer, and this is kind of the foundation of everything we do too. I'll keep everyone in suspense for another moment. this is what I wrote. I see a movement. I see a group of believers so passionate, so committed, seeking so fully Christ above all things, choosing death before sin, no matter the cost, committed to radical holiness. Their very presence is a contradiction to the world. They bring the joy and light of the gospel to the world. And the darker the world gets, the brighter their light shines. Greater opposition only brings greater grace. Their devotion, their holiness is so deep that it shows on their face. Others are drawn to them, drawn into the kingdom. They bring comfort to the hurting and healing to the sick of mind, body, and spirit. Their very presence is filled with such grace that it feels like a safe haven for others. They live every moment of their lives mindful to offer up every suffering as a sacrifice for souls. They embrace every moment of the day as the prayer that it is. They offer up every work. They are filled with a joy that others long for. And the more the world opposes them, the more joyful, the more committed, the more aware of God's grace they become. They live for one thing only, proclaiming his name in word, in thought, and in deed. And that lies at the foundation of everything we are doing in our ministry with young adults, because we see this. Like, yeah. People get so down on the state of the church today. And it'd be easy for us to do the same, talk about how bad things are and how discouraging. But I have to say, in keeping this vision before us, in all that we've done, in all of our diverse ministry experiences, in all we're moving forward in our time with young adults in particular, yeah. This is what I see.
Yeah.
And I think the National Eucharistic Revival also plays into this part as a movement in itself. But I don't see reasons for despair. I see the drier the wood is, the faster it burns. Come, Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And we've seen this, too. We've seen this with the people that we work with. Like, when, you know, especially in our diocese, we hear a lot about the priest shortage and things like that. I have never gotten discouraged about that, because I literally can see, I can visually see just this, like, boom of priests. And it's so easy to get, yeah, discouraged, like you said, about the state of the church. But God's doing something. He's doing something. And I think this really gets at the heart of it. A group of believers so passionate, so committed, and people are drawn to them.
This is Faith in Action on Siouxland Catholic Radio, and I'm Lisa Niebuhr in for Joanne Fox. And the Holy Spirit is alive with Fred and Kara and Draw Near. And you talk about even, I see the Holy Spirit alive in the laity and people saying, I can do this.
Yeah.
This is my opportunity. I love to lecture. I love to bring communion to the sick in the nursing homes, etc. Isn't it great that this priest shortage has brought the Holy Spirit on fire in all of us? And you look at all of the gloom, as you saw in the Grammys, and to me it's like, no, this is the fire of the Holy Spirit saying, there's so much more joy out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All we have to do is turn and look for it.
Right. Yeah.
He's raising people up. He really is.
Yeah, he is. And I think that's kind of what our story is, what the Draw Near story is, and why we're so committed to helping people find their own identity in Christ and find their gifts and how the Lord has called them to do just that. Even when, like, life started to get back to basically normal with Draw Near, you know, there came that decision time of, do we keep doing this the way we were doing it? And we're like, we're gonna keep this going, but it's gonna have to be on our own. And
we have something different.
Yeah, and it was something we believed in with our whole heart. And, you know, we invested our own money in, our own time. And, you know, our family has made sacrifices as well to help support us in this work. But it's because we, through prayer, have, you know, like we all need to discover, who has God called you to be? What has he gifted you to do? And what are you called to do? And so that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And we want to help others do the same.
And how do you select topics? And how have you found these incredible national guests that you've brought on that really allow us that opportunity to get to know the best and the brightest in the world?
Honestly, the guests are friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, both in our in working in ministry, both of us, you build relationships. You know, it's why it's important to prioritize relationships. And so I don't think we've ever had somebody on that's not actually a friend of ours.
Somebody we know, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So we never like, oh, yeah, so-and-so is like my friend. You know, we don't brag on that. But it is nice to be able to have friends like that you can bring into the experience. And
yeah.
And for some, you know, encounter everyday life in Iowa, you know, because a lot of times they don't necessarily come to places like this. So to bring some of those folks in locally for us, to bless us, I think it's a great opportunity.
Who has been your favorite interview?
Man, we're going to have all of them listen and then they'll be like, oh, I'm never going there again. That's a hard one. I've enjoyed a lot of them. I think one that I really liked, I won't say it was my favorite because I don't want to output all the other people who have been so kind in joining us. I really loved having Noelle Garcia on.
Oh, yeah.
Her and I did an episode on motherhood, and I just felt like that was so relatable. And I got a few messages from our listeners who express that. They're like, I relate so much to everything that you guys talked about. Like, you need to keep doing this series and things like that. And so I really liked that conversation. I thought she was very honest and vulnerable. And
that probably was the most vulnerable and honest episode, I think, of all Draw Near episodes we've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just felt like, you know, we were sitting down as two moms and chatting. So, and that's what I like, that dynamic in Draw Near. So I really enjoyed having her.
Mm.
What about you, Fred?
That's a tough one.
I know.
And my wife has been one of the guests, so I feel like I I need to say that. BJ was a guest too. That was fun. We actually drank bourbon while he was on, so that was fun.
Yes, BJ is a known, world-renowned speaker. no, just kidding.
Honestly, I think Sonia Corbett was a wonderful experience. I think it's partly because some of that is the impact she had on our life.
Yeah.
And Matthew Leonard as well, who's always been a big encourager. So if anyone hasn't listened to those episodes, I encourage you to check them out.
How did you get your spouses to be a part of those episodes? Because it was originally you all, and then we had the opportunity to hear the husbands and the wives. What led to that? And
when you work for the church, your spouse does too. That's the long and short of it.
You're way nice to me. I was just going to be like, we forced them.
That was going to be my second answer. Yeah, it was a little bit of forcing.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know Crystal was really nervous, and I think we just, you know, we chatted about it, and she did a great job.
She did great, actually.
Yeah, she did a great job, and ours was about motherhood, too. We did a kind of a series on...
That one had a lot of positive
feedback.
Like, thanks for your honesty. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Mm. We did a series that was fatherhood and husbands, and then wives and mothers, and so that's where our spouses were on. So BJ was on with Fred talking about fatherhood and being a husband, and then Crystal joined me, and we talked about being a mother and being a wife and stuff. So it just was a natural fit in our friendship and in our family's just relationship with one another.
Yeah, we also had our friend Taylor Schroll from Forte Catholic on, and we wanted Kara to vote for who was a better father, him or I, and she wouldn't take that bait.
That seems unfair.
Yeah, but we know that she was second place in the that we decided.
Thank you.
So one of us was first, one of us was third, but we never figured that out. But, I don't know. It's been a joy to have, you know, such wonderful guests on. And on the marriage front, I really want to do one on what they didn't tell you in marriage prep.
That would be fabulous.
I think it'd actually be really fun to do that with our spouses. I told BJ, I'm like, I think it'd be cool if, like, you and I did an episode and people got to know us together, too. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, so that's I think a lot of how we pick topics is... We know our listeners. Mm-hmm. We listen to our listeners. Sometimes we do get that feedback, and we know.
But it's also stuff that, like, God places on our heart and the timing of, like, what's going on in the world.
Exactly. More than anything, we do pray on the topics.
Yeah.
So when we feel the Lord wants us to have an episode where we address, sometimes you don't like your spouse. They never told you that in marriage prep, but it's true. You know, we'll pick up that episode.
Well, and you even, I remember back in December, you had said, oh, Lisa, I know I'm going to do this podcast, and you were working on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And like just before we started today with prayer, you said, you know, the Lord was leading us to a series on the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mm. And so it's been great to be on the other side and see how your faith really leads you to those episodes. What is the number one, or what's the episode you've had the most feedback on, or listeners' favorite?
Probably Four People You Need in Your Life.
Yeah,
don't you think?
That's one of them. And Why Do They Have a Podcast? Which, honestly, that one I have a special. That one has a special place in my heart, just because it was so silly. Like the picture we made for it, Kara made for it. But it was also just fun. It kind of was us just kind of being silly, but also being honest and sharing exactly some of the stuff we're sharing with you. And it was, I'll let you tell the story.
It was actually a response of something we had heard. Like somebody was asking another person that, not necessarily in the most positive light, almost like, why do they have a podcast? And I brought it back to Fred. I was like, why do we have podcasts? Yeah. And really the only answer is because God, like we felt like God was telling us we needed to do this. And so we chat on that episode about really the mission of what Draw Near is, similar to what we're doing with you today, Lisa. Mm. But yeah.
But our most downloaded, last time I looked, was actually our music. Kara singing Amazing Grace in particular.
And you playing guitar.
Yes. that was, last I checked, our most downloaded. On YouTube, our the ones we've done on suffering are the most downloaded.
I've had people stop me saying that's the one they love the most, is the one on suffering and pain, because it's captured so many people from the young to the young at heart.
Yeah.
And you've also done some great stories at Christmas that have incorporated your children. Tell our listeners about your Christmas stories.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
It
was in response to, it was really silly. It was our Christmas spectacular. And Kara actually made the suggestion that I read some of the stories that I read to the kids every year and post it, just as kind of a inviting people into our lives and Christmas in our homes and our families. So I tried it. I just did Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus, and I was absolutely shocked at the response to that. I don't know why. Like, sometimes we hear, like, I love to listen to you talk or read. We both get that feedback. Sometimes I'm puzzled by that, if I'm honest. But that was the feedback, and people really enjoyed it. So, like, I thought, wow, that's neat. If they're sitting down with their families and listening to the story, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that again this year.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them were stories that I read to my family each year. And Kara, you did one as well, didn't you? Or?
I didn't do one. No, I suggested that you do one with Crystal and Hannah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got to go into it, and I edited that episode, and that was really fun to listen to, too. And
Gift of the Magi. I love that story. Makes me cry every year.
Yeah.
But beautiful story. And I think, I hope it's not a spoiler. It might be. Joanne Fox and us were planning to do something very similar but much more ambitious for next Christmas with a certain Charles Dickens story.
Oh, wow.
So,
I like it, too, since it's weird that I haven't gotten to do one because I grew up, like, doing theater and stuff. And, you know, Fred was like, I just see it as, like, acting. I'm like, well, that's fun. So
right.
I think it'll be cool because Joanne does that, too. So that'll be fun to incorporate her.
Kara says I'm too nice to play Scrooge.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
So... I guess I will be Cratchit.
You would make a fabulous Cratchit. You would make a fabulous Cratchit.
That works.
There you go. Now we need to find a Scrooge.
Nice.
And it was so fun because you did. You incorporated Joanne, your daughter, your wife, which built off that beautiful family series.
Yeah.
So we talked about Christmas. And ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Faith in Action with Draw Near's Fred and Kara here on Siouxland Catholic Radio, and a thanks to Mary's Choice, because Mary's Choice allows us to bring you this show every week, Mondays and Saturdays, on different podcasting platforms. And Fred and Kara, last year we came to you before Joanne left, and we said, you know, this Eucharistic revival, it really is, and you talked about it last night in your show, it starts with all of us. And we had said to you, what would be the possibility as you're looking at all the different aspects of Draw Near to do a podcasting series on My Lord and My God or on the Eucharist. Tell us what your thoughts were when we approached you with that and what led to the evolution of this brand new show that everybody's enjoying.
Yeah, my first thought was, that seems like a big task. Can I do it? Can we do it? Mm-hmm. Was actually the thought, because my last name is Ann Kara after all. You know, I prayed about it and talked to Kara, and I think excitement did grow. I think for me, what I saw in it was Kara has for a long time wanted to do a show on the Eucharist, a Draw Near show on the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And it kept getting put off. And then it started growing.
Yeah.
And then, see, I didn't share all this with you all when we sat down initially, but eventually it was like a whole series of episodes.
Yeah.
And then when I approached her, it became a whole outline of, so it was like the Lord was setting it up in Kara's heart already.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let Kara speak to this more, because I really feel like My Lord, My God, I feel like her spirituality, Kara herself, is the heartbeat of My Lord, My God. So I will let her share.
Well, thanks. That's the first time you said that. I was really excited when Fred said that you guys were wanting us to do this. Just like you said, you know, it was, I had episode after episode of like, well, if we talk about this with the Eucharist, like, let's do one with this and this. And this was all for the sake of Draw Near. And usually how the Lord works with me is if it's his idea, all of the ideas come flooding all at once and I have to sit down and write it all out because some of it is just so overwhelming that I know it can't be mine. It can't be my idea. And that's how it was with all of the episodes. And then usually when it's time to do it, we know we say we take these episodes and the topics to prayer. Usually when it's time to do a specific episode, he tells us. Mm-hmm. Like one of us will either have a dream about it and then like we'll text the other one, hey, I think we're supposed to do this. Or like all of the ideas and the conversation and like we hear it in our head and we'll be like, hey, I think we're supposed to do this. He hadn't done that yet with the Eucharist shows, so we didn't do it in Draw Near yet. And then when you know, this opportunity came up to do a Eucharistic show for the Eucharistic Revival, it was like immediately I had to sit down and I had to write out all the ideas and the topics and the episodes. So it was like, yeah, I think we're supposed to do this. And then My Lord and My God came, that was you, Fred, right? It came from that passage, and Fred just felt like that was really what he saw.
Yeah. So as I... this is a tricky thing. We're letting listeners in a little more than we probably normally would. But
into our brains.
like when I sit down and pray with something, especially if it's a talk or an idea, like typically for me, it's a picture. I think in pictures, in prayer, I see in pictures. And so it can be very difficult for me to turn that into words. And I just kept seeing a host being held up with that famous Caravaggio image of, you know, Thomas sticking his hand into the wounds. And so I told Kara, I think that's our logo. I think that's our image. And then typical Holy Spirit led, you know, things change like that.
Right.
As you've seen. And oh, we were going to send you this episode, but now.
And you know what? It's fun because it's always exciting to see where the Lord is directing you all. And it ties beautifully into everything else going. Oh,
right. Yep. So it was kind of funny because I think for me, I realized, well, that's our first episode. It is Doubting Thomas. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was seeing. That is kind of, that's also the name. But then as we've, like, this has been a growing process for us of continuing to discern and pray. We're only, at the time of this recording, 3 weeks in. And we've completely changed the logo and rebranded it. And actually, like, the image I kept seeing in my head of what that logo should look like was Jesus and a monstrous connected. And as I shared with Kara recently, a lot of that was, that inspiration for me was coming from her own testimony, which listeners
which
will
is an
hear
episode, yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the upcoming episode of My Lord and My God. This airs, when does this air? Sorry.
To be announced.
To be announced, okay. Well, you've
so
probably,
it might already be out.
At this point, you've probably already heard that episode, but it's Kara's testimony. And what did we land on calling that?
My testimony?
Yeah.
I am here.
I
which
am
is
here.
Actually really
perfect.
Cool. So yes. I'm not going to share it. Well, maybe I should share it here. Well, there is a part in my testimony that I didn't share in the episode because they're shorter episodes. But when I was in college, like I heard those words and you know that story. I heard him say those words and then I used those words in my initial testimony that he was saying like the same thing. And I had never made those two connections until the other night when we were trying to come up with a title for that show. I was like, that's like the theme of how he's worked with me. So it's kind of cool, actually. But
yeah, so it is kind of neat to watch. Like, although like we're partners in ministry, like I think I stand back and kind of watch this unfold as the fruit of Kara's spirituality, her witness, her testimony. I see a lot of that in it from the logo, even in some ways to the name, and certainly the way every episode is planned and coming together. So it's beautiful.
Well, thank you.
When you sent the new logo that has the pretty gold monstrance, it reflects so much some of the pretty monstrances that come out of the real presence apostolate through Blessed Carlo Acutis. So when you sent that the other day, Patrick had sent me the same one or something very similar. And I thought, did you replicate this? Did you tweak this? And then I realized, no, it hadn't come that way. Yeah. But it's amazing to see how that, and then at the same time as you all were working on your show, unbeknownst to us, or slightly, the Knights of Columbus were working on donating the Eucharistic Miracles of the World exhibit to the radio station. And so it's a beautiful way for all of us to work together and to help bring people closer to Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, he really does do that a lot with things. He threads things together in other people's lives and other opportunities. And if we just listen to him, and sometimes it's just like a tiny little prompting. Mm. If we just listen to him, I think that renewal in the church would, and the Holy Spirit's presence in the church would be just exploding. We just have to say yes to the things he's saying.
Yeah. Amen.
So you're listening to Faith in Action on Siouxland Catholic Radio with Fred and Kara from Draw Near. And I'm Lisa Niebuhr, your host. Fred and Kara, what are some of the other great and exciting aspects that you're working on with Draw Near in addition to the two shows?
Well, we're starting with, we haven't said much about it, but we are working toward a podcast network. Things are still in progress, but...
So that would mean other people's podcasts would also be hosted and shown on our website, and we'd help.
Yeah, and we're giving them a platform to do that. And one presently we're working on, I think she'd be okay with me sharing this. I'm really excited about it. Yeah. I just recorded the intro for it. Little known fact, all the music on our stuff is written by Kara and I.
And performed by?
Usually. Paul Ching. Totally.
Usually you on guitar, and then Paul Ching is like a piano prodigy. Oh, he's amazing.
I'm jealous of his skills, but that's... Yeah.
But no,
I'll try to be holy.
But. Fred, like how he sees in pictures, he like hears music in his head too, so he will just start strumming and like come up with just these beautiful melodies.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
So we just recorded an intro for her. I still got a lot of work to do on it and voiceover and stuff like that. But it's called Lexio to the Liturgy, which is already available, like if anyone wants to check it out, lexiotheliturgy.com. So we're pretty excited about
that.
And
who's the host? I don't think you said.
Oh, Julie Storr.
Yeah.
Did I not say?
No,
I'm
you
sorry.
Didn't say that.
Julie Storr, yes. She'd be a great guest, I think, in the future as well to help with that. So, but... I'm excited about that, and there's some other projects we are working on with another friend of ours that we can't share much yet, but it has the potential to be quite huge in terms of providing a platform, a space, and a resource, and relationships for leaders in parish renewal to network, to learn from each other. Really excited about that. Yeah. I just can't say anything more than that. So,
and talk about your Bible study too, because that's been a neat platform or opportunity in which people can enroll and share and grow and learn with the two of you.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's, we aired it on Catholic Radio as well. So we did a 10-week book study with St. Therese of Lisieux. It's with the book, I Believe in Love. And, you know, during that time, where the shutdown was happening, where Draw Near was really born, St. Therese had a huge part in both of our lives because we started reading that book. Mm-hmm. And she kind of pulled us out of the feeling alone, you know, being stuck at home for 5 months and, you know, not getting being able to go anywhere. And so we've read that book multiple times. And we're like, you know, this is so life-changing, and we've led young adults through it, and they have loved it and have grown more in love with her. I think she is a saint for the modern age, and she's going to bring people to holiness and to Christ. And so we really just wanted to create an opportunity for people to learn more about her, read that book, and do it in community. So so it's been on air on the Catholic Radio. And then also we partnered with a friend of ours at Sushi Pay. It's sushipay.co. Mm-hmm. And if you go there and sign up for their community, you can sign up for that book study, I Believe in Love. And we recorded episodes, 30-minute episodes of each chapter, and you listen to them and you join in virtual discussion with people all over the world in that. So, yeah, it's been a really wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, it has. As many times as we've been through that book, we get something new every time.
Yeah.
Treasures old, treasures new, no time wasted. There's no time wasted when it's spent with St. Therese and Jesus. And, it's a life-changing book, I think. I don't know that we would be here having this conversation had we not read that book together.
I honestly feel like it was a huge turning point. We talk about this, in episode one of the book study. It was a huge turning point in my prayer life and my spirituality. I felt like I was, you know, you mentioned at the beginning, I was a cradle Catholic, and there's just been a very slow pursuit of my heart by God and a very slow progression. And I feel like that was just like 0 to 100 reading that book. It was like done with all things that aren't God. Like, I want to be a saint. Let's go. And so it was very transformative.
Yeah. Yeah, so like you said, it's on Siouxland Catholic Radio. It's on Sault Ste. Paix. We also have, through our Patreon, if anyone so feels inclined or inspired to support us monthly, that gives you access
to the book study,
yeah. And there's various levels of engagement with us, live Q&As, whatnot. So, yeah.
And if you go to Fred and Kara's blog on our Siouxland Catholic Radio website, you can be able to find out how to purchase the book, how to be able to access all of those different opportunities and be involved. And you're looking for, at the end of your book study, explain to our listeners what your kind of hope is.
Yeah, at the end of the radio book study, we want to do a live draw near in the studio, and we want to answer any questions people have, whether it's about the book study or about St. Therese, or if it's just questions for us about our lives or random Catholic things, like whatever it is. So if you are engaged in the book study on the radio and you've been listening, please contact us. Just send us an email, drawnear.me@gmail.com. Very simple. That's also our website, drawnear.me. So easy to remember. And just send us an email, like whatever your question is. Mm-hmm. And if we have the interest, we want to do a live episode where we just take up all your questions.
And on our website, drawnear.me, we have a contact tab. If you just click that,
yeah.
You can also do
we'll get it that way.
So, mm-hmm. Yep.
What other avenues are you pursuing? I know, Fred, you go periodically to Steubenville. Explain to our listeners a little bit about what you do there and other avenues, too.
Well, at the time of this recording, I'm headed to Steubenville to speak to the catechetics majors there about diocesan ministry and what diocesan ministry should look like, and what they need to know as they graduate Steubenville and head out into the workforce. Now, it's very rare that someone would leave college to go straight to diocesan ministry. It's not, yeah. As I say that, you're looking at two exceptions to that. But, you know, Holy Spirit can do things and experience and all those things. But I think it's important that they know. One of the emphases I place on with them is building relationships. Like, don't just sit in your office. Go out, build relationships. And she doesn't know this. I don't know if she's listening, but Lori Dreyer, who was an amazing DRE up in Cherokee for many years, is a part of my presentation actually. And I talk about all the things I learned from Lori Dreyer, and I talk about the value in not placing yourself above any parish leader because you work in the chancery, but learning from the parish leaders in the field, in the trenches, and learning how you can best serve them and how you can best help them and how you can work together. And I think my relationship with Lori Dreyer over 8 years and 8+ years in diocesan ministry was that for me. When I needed encouragement, she was there, you know. And there are many parish leaders across the diocese that are that way. You know, I think of Kelly Grothis and Megan Ulrich and Boone. I think of Carmen and Lamar's.
Yeah.
Mary Brandt up in Spirit Lake, who's now in a different line of work. But you know, I think of all these great people in our diocese that how I end that presentation is diocesan ministry gave me a family. And that's not the impression that most people have of diocesan ministry, and yet it's true. And I share the picture of us with, you know, 40+ ladies at a retreat, and certainly us with young adults, and even our families together, because our families are friends because of diocesan ministry. That's how we met. So I have a special place in my heart for diocesan ministry, and I want them to leave Steubenville with the right perspective. Before they go into diocesan ministry, I want them to not have the sense of, I'm in charge, every ditch is worth dying in. You know, I want them to not do that.
Yeah.
You know, so I try to help them to do that. So it's great experience.
And that's not outside of the realm of other things. That's at Steubenville for their immersion day. But we've also been doing other speaking things, helping parishes with things like that, consulting with them on ministry, all things ministry, and then just general, you know, speaking things about holiness, about God's love, about you name the topic, and we're happy to do that. So that's kind of been a growing ministry effort, and we also do music with one another.
Yep.
So we've been doing that for adoration, for conferences and stuff like that. So
we have a parish mission, 4-day parish mission coming up in St. Louis that we're really excited about.
Explain that, please, and thank you.
Yeah, so we're going to St. Louis. We get to do a confirmation retreat and then also do a parish mission. So it's 3 nights, all with talks that are very linked to one another and progress along with one another, and just drawing people into the love of God. And then at the end, sending them out to help renew the church is kind of the progression. So different things like that are what we're excited about and passionate about, because, you know, we don't think renewal of the church happens by speakers. It happens through relationships, and we want to be the kind of people who can come in and help in with speaking things, but stick around. And we're there for that DRE in St. Louis who wants to reach back out to us even after we've been there and be like, hey,
which has happened.
How do I continue this momentum? How do I keep doing that? And like give tips and stuff like that. So we don't want it to be just a, you know, pop in and leave kind of situation. We want to really walk with people.
I think that's part of the what makes us different question. That's a question I've been asked a lot. Well, once.
But so many times.
But it's stuck with me so much that I ask myself that a lot. And I know, Carol, we talk about it a lot. What makes us different? And I think that's a big part of it, that our priority is on relationship. It's not just, I'm here to do my thing and leave. You know, not and I don't mean that as a criticism to any speaker whatsoever.
No.
I think that can be the nature of things, and I totally get that, and that's okay. But we really, at the heart of everything we're doing is that relationship with God, relationship with one another. Mm-hmm. That's what we want.
And serving people. Like, I know Paul's the one who says he wants, you know, the gospel should be free. He wants to bring the gospel to all people. And so we know, you know, rural parishes, we're from a rural diocese, you can't always bring in that big name speaker, but we want to be the people who, you know, can bring it to you for whatever cost, you know.
Right.
Because you've talked about, you've spoken with Tim, and I mispronounce his name, Glenkowski, with the National Eucharistic Congress and the National Eucharistic Revival. You've spoken with Sonia Carbett. You've spoken with the Swaffords. I'm guessing Father Burns, you've spoken with too, am I correct?
I don't think he's been on our show, but we have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So guys, how do you balance this wonderful relationship as we wrap things up and balance family too?
Oh yeah, family's at the heart of it. Like we had one of our, I think a lot of people know us as, like, we joke, Fred and Kara, but along with Fred comes his family, along with Kara comes my family. And so in our friendship, is really a friendship of families. And we had, you know, somebody who has witnessed that since basically we've started working together and said that, like, we admire your family of friendship. Is that what she said?
She said it both ways. She said, what I see in you is something I don't see in everyday life. And that's a family of friends and a friendship of family.
Right.
And I just thought that was so beautiful.
Yeah. Like we joke, like, we've married off several of our children. Like, as they grow up, they're going to get married.
With 9 children between our families.
I was going to say,
ladies and
gentlemen,
there's bound to be a different vocation in there. That's fine.
Yeah. But our families really are at the heart of it. And, you know, they're so supportive and involved in everything. And they have to be. Mm. And if God has raised us up to do something great, he also has a role for our families in that.
My oldest daughters are watching Kara's children, so we can be here with you today.
Yeah.
Kara wants me to teach my oldest kids how to play bass so they can join us in music.
Yeah.
So it's a draw near is a family thing. It is.
And I'm going to also say it is not only that family, the two of you, but relationships with some of the seminarians, like our confirmation son, Anthony Vera, your relationship with all of us at Siouxland Catholic Radio.
Yeah.
And so listeners, and Fred and Kara, if people want to find out more, where can they find you on the website, your web address?
The easiest thing to do is just to go to drawnear.me. Drawnear.me. Easy to remember. Of course, the me is Christ. Drawnear.me.
drawnearnot.me. Well, thank you, Fred and Kara. Thank you for joining us. You can hear Fred and Kara every Tuesday at 3:20 after the Divine Mercy Chapel for My Lord and My God. You can hear them every Wednesday at 4 o'clock for Draw Near. And this is Siouxland Catholic Radio and Faith in Action, and I'm Lisa Niebuhr. Thanking you for joining us. Thanks to Mary's Choice, our sponsor, for bringing you this program. And just a reminder that a faithful reaction is good, but as Joanne says, faith in action, like Fred and Kara, is so much better. Thanks for listening, and thanks for being our guests.
Amen. Thank you for having us.